This week, the American Libraries Association came out with its list of the top 10 most frequently banned and challenged books in American libraries. Seattle writer Sherman Alexie made the cut. In fact, his novel, The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian, topped the list. Sherman Alexie joins me. And how do you feel? You're a winner, I guess.
I'm a huge winner. This is like having the number one hit on the Billboard charts.
Why do you think this particular book, which is for young adults, why did this top the list?
Well, the things they mention, by and large, are, you know, he positively mentions masturbation a few times, which is really a rare activity for a teenage boy. The thing I didn't know, you know, cultural distances, is that only teenage Democrats masturbate. I had no idea that teenage Republicans don't touch themselves in an erotic fashion. But really, I think the basic reason it gets banned, and if you look at the list, you'll see that a lot of the books are of alternate identities, minorities, disabilities, sexuality. So I think it's anybody outside the mainstream. And this is this book of a reservation Indian kid who succeeds because he's a liberal progressive book-obsessed masturbating teenage boy.
I'm not going to ask if this is autobiographical.
Of course it is. Everything except the ambitious part.
The American Libraries Association did say it was tracking the challenges to see how much all those other identities made it to the list. And it's pretty interesting to see that it is so weighted against the standard stories of white kids.
Well, and
or people.
Also, I think a big part of it is that it's immediately viewed as suspicious from the cover, from the title, that it has Indians on the cover, that Indian is in the title. So it instantly marks itself as being separate and different. But the thing is, people make stuff up. In Georgia and in South Carolina over the last 10 years, one woman went up in front of the school board and insisted that the book contained oral sex lessons, which it does not.
Wow.
Another woman said to a journalist in South Carolina that the book contained the two main characters ran around grabbing women's breasts, so they were sex criminals. And the journalist reported these facts, in parentheses, without ever investigating or asking anybody. So there's some sort of psychological thing that goes on with many of these book banners to where they start inventing things. So I don't know what shadow self thing is going on for them, what childhood drama they're reenacting through my very tame book. But in the end, what it does is that they're trying to control imagination and they're trying to control what other people read.
I'm speaking with Seattle writer Sherman Alexie, and he has the dubious honor of topping the American Library Association's top 10 banned books. We were thinking about books, other books that have made lists of top 10 banning and have gone on to become classics. And the one of my childhood era, Catcher in the Rye, comes to mind. So is it good or bad for you to be on this list?
Oh, it's great. I mean, I've been in the top 10 since publication.
Really? This is just an annual thing?
This is the first time I'm number one. In other years, the number one book, I was number two twice. I lost to Captain Underpants, if you can believe that, was the number one most banned book a few years ago. Dave Pelkey's books, yeah.
For younger kids.
Yeah, which are about a kid who dresses up as a superhero in his underpants. They're wow. Afraid of underpants. The repressed conservative Christians of the country are afraid of underpants. And then another year I was number two to Entangle Makes Three, which is on the list again this year, which is the true story of two gay penguins in the Bronx Zoo raising orphaned chicks.
But they're same-sex penguins, right?
Yeah, they're same-sex penguins.
Okay.
Because, you know, we can't... Well, I've always wondered about penguins because they dress formally for everything.
Have any of your other books made it to this list?
No, not in the top 10. My book, The Lone Ranger and Tonto Fistfight in Heaven, has been challenged and banned over the years, but not with the concentrated effort. One of the big things here is, too, I get banned most often because my book sells like crazy and it's taught in thousands of schools
right
now. So part of being number one is simply because the book is so popular.
You have two sons, I know. Have they read this book?
Yeah. I told my son, my younger son, that I was number one most corrupting influence on youth in America. And he said, I already knew that, Dad.
When, you know, as a parent, when you think about what you want, your kids are a little bit older now, but when they were below the age of 10, were there books that you didn't want them to read?
No.
So it was fine with you.
Yeah, whatever they're going to read or pick up, and then we'll talk about it. If they have questions or confusions, they'll ask me. You know, it's quaint. It's quaint to challenge and ban books now. It's so quaint considering the access to every bit of human information is in their hands with their phones. So if you're a conservative Christian, your kid has an iPhone or an Android and you're trying to ban books, you're completely missing your target.
The American Libraries Association represents both public libraries and I think school libraries as well. Are the challenges coming to both sorts of institutions or to schools?
It's mostly schools. I can't even off the top of my head think of an instance in a public library where it's happened, where I've been challenged. But it's been in schools. And by and large, it's small, white, very conservative towns where this has happened, or in cities in conservative Christian private schools.
Is this book banned anyplace in Washington State, your home state?
It was challenged in Richland.
In Richland,
a couple
Washington.
Years ago. And they it was challenged. They removed it from the curriculum. And the school board hadn't even read it. They just went by the recommendation of a committee. But then after the publicity came out, they read the book. They quickly reversed their decision.
What do you do what did you do when this first started happening? Did you respond personally?
They're not my community, so it's not really my fight. There was a big effort in Boise last year to ban the book. It was removed from a school in Boise, or in a suburb of Boise, I should say, because the Boise liberals want me to clarify that. Actually, the student body, a young woman named Brady Kissel, was part of a movement to reinstate the book. But she actually, with the help of a couple of women in Spokane, distributed copies of the book to anybody who wanted them in a Boise city park. So I will support those efforts, but I don't really get personally involved because it's not my community.
So if a school in this area would challenge this book?
Oh, I would be right there because it's my community, and I actually have a personal stake in that. I can't really go to somebody else's school and do that. That said, if somebody asked me, I'd go to the community itself. And like Chris Crutcher does, the young adult author from Spokane, whenever he hears about his book being challenged or banned, he sends a box to the nearest library.
And most public libraries are very opposed to the idea
this
of removing everything.
This is not the work of librarians, yep. And this is very rarely the work of teachers. This is... Parents, conservative Christian parents, and conservative Christian school board members. Nobody who is actively involved in the day-to-day education of students is involved in this. It's outsiders. And the thing is, there's always an alternate read. There's always the choice to not read this book and read another one. They'll claim that they're being forced to do this, but they always have a choice.
Just a last question. As you're talking about this, I'm getting images of Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451 and many. There has been book burning throughout the centuries, and it's always, people who are very rigid who don't want ideas. What needs to change in society for this to stop happening?
Well, it's going to keep happening. There's no
really?
Stopping this. There's no stopping repressive folks trying to control thought and idea. But the thing is, in earlier eras, if you remember in the 70s in the United States, led by Christian conservatives, there was a massive movement to burn books. They were burning books. They did it on my reservation. But what the American Library Association, the National Coalition Against Censorship, all these organizations do is stop these things in their infancy. In their larva stage, you stop these bannings so that it doesn't become a national movement. You go right at it. And there's not necessarily that many instances of this happening, but every instance is potentially dangerous for that community, and every instance can become part of a larger movement.
Sherman Alexie's book is called The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. You can check it out for yourself. And that book tops the American Libraries Association list of top 10 most frequently banned and challenged books in American libraries. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks.